Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the fifth episode of the Morning Mulligans podcast. This is our third week of doing this. You know, we do two episodes every week, one on Tuesday for our picks and analysis, and one on Wednesday for our matchups. Today is, of course, the picks and analysis, and we had a great week in the past week of the
AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm looking at the I'm looking at our recap paper. I'm just staring at Genesis Invitational right now, so I got a little sidetracked.
Gotcha.
But as you guys all know here, we start off with the recap of the week before we jump into this week. So, Todd, what do we got on the recap? Where do you want to start?
So Daniel Berger, eagled the 72nd hole. Shot a final round 65 to get to 18 under par. Nate Lashley, though, is kind of the guy I want to talk about.
The meltdown.
Berger's win was impressive, and I'm glad to see him win, even though he messed us up last week with missing the cut.
Yeah.
Nate Lashley had a four putt on the 16th hole to make triple when he was tied for the lead.
Yeah.
That might be one of the biggest meltdowns I've seen on tour in a while.
It was really hard to watch.
It was, and you felt for him just because I mean he was so mad, and I mean anybody would be.
We were watching that together. That was
It was painful to watch. Even Nobolo and Nick Faldo. Nick Faldo.
Like, oh my God.
They were just like, wow.
It was really hard.
I mean, you don't really know what to say. I've been in that position where you just can't seem to get the ball in the hole. And it happens to everybody. And
I think after he two-putted, he just panicked. And he's like, all right, let me just tap this in real quick. And
then
he missed that. And he's like, oh.
Well, your brain is just running 1,000 miles a minute when you've got that going on. Because you're just like, I just got to get this ball in the hole. And every time I hit it, it touches the hole and never goes in. Like, it's one of the worst things that happen on the course, but it's just part of the game.
Yeah.
Secondly, though, another good finish for Spieth.
Yep.
You were kind of off of him last week a little, but I was on him.
A little. We have called the Spieth comeback 2 weeks in a row. We called the original comeback.
We did.
We called for his return. For his return again this week.
Yeah, the only thing I think for Spieth, he has got to get more consistent because
he's a nice new player right now. This is a fresh new Spieth. He's going to get more consistent.
I hope. Just because I mean, like,
heck, more consistent. He's freaking top 5.
Yeah, his finishes are great. But
overall play.
At the Waste Management his Saturday, he made literally everything he looked at, which that was old Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
This past week, he had two hole outs from outside of 100 yards.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I'm like,
he had a hole out last week, too.
Huh?
He had a hole out last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, yeah, he's back as far as finishes, but I mean, as far as putting like solid rounds together, he's gotten pretty lucky the last couple of weeks.
He's going to get you that W here soon. Might be at the Masters.
We had also Maverick McNealy and Patrick Cantlay. They finished inside the top 5. McNealy was solo second. Patrick Cantlay, that was kind of surprising. I figured
he tied the course record. You thought he was just going to run away with it after tying the course record.
Yeah, he really didn't do anything after that. I mean, his final round, I think he shot, 3 or 4 under par because he started the day, I think, at 11.
Patrick Cantlay's got nerves of steel, and I think he might win 1 to 2 times this season, but that was not a good finish on his part last week.
No.
After he's tying the course record compared to all their scores, he should have ran away with it.
Yeah.
He should have.
Yeah, I was fully expecting him to do that too.
Yeah.
But other than that for the tournament, I think that's it for the recap. But you had a couple things we also wanted to talk about in the news.
Yeah, well, one more thing to add to a player is that Berger still holds the current record for most rounds at par or better in a row right now. And I think now with his last round, I think he's at 26 in a row.
Yeah.
That's 26 pretty crazy. At par or better.
You're going to win a lot of golf tournaments doing that.
You think he's only won one in all
of
those.
That's crazy. And he missed last week's cut,
I know.
Which is even crazier.
I don't get it. Like we said, we didn't pick him last week on Tuesday, but on Wednesday, I specifically said that Berger was going to make a big comeback this week. I didn't think he was going to win.
Yeah,
but
I didn't
he made
either.
A big comeback this week, so we kind of called that one.
He was pretty much the only one that, like, really well. Maverick McNeely, I guess, you know, he played really well on the final day, but
yeah,
it's just like the last couple of tournaments. It's who can avoid the blowups because everybody else is just like, you know, combusting around you. And
there's been a lot of like breakdowns this season so far.
There have been.
It's been fun to watch. I mean, it's awful to watch, but it's fun to watch.
Well, yeah, but I think it's just because literally every leaderboard, I feel like week in and week out so far this year, has just been stacked.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like,
it's
been
tight.
Yeah, going into the final round, you've got, you know, 15 to 20 guys in within two or three shots, and you know,
it's very, very tight.
Yeah.
We'll jump into our players and how they did after we talk about a little bit of news. So we got two things new this week. Now, Todd, I'll let you talk about the distance devices first.
Okay, yeah. So it got announced. I think it may have been before play started.
It was before
on Thursday or maybe Wednesday.
Announced by PGA of America.
Right. So they're going to allow players to basically use rangefinders at the majors.
Yeah, distance controlled devices during competition rounds is what was said.
Yeah. So
and I mean. Honestly,
I don't really know what that's going
to
help.
You kind of looked at some of the players' comments, and no one really cared, to be honest. It's just, I mean, yeah, sure, you might be able to get some, like, dead accurate distances now, but, I mean, it's not going to help pace of play.
No.
It's not going to do anything on how they're going to play their game. It's just, honestly, the only thing it might do is make it easier for the caddies. That's about it.
Yeah, or maybe like if you blow one, you know, if you're on an opposite hole and some, you know, you're on five and you're in six
you
fairway or whatever.
That could be useful. Yeah.
But I mean,
I think it just made the caddy's job easier, which is great because caddies do not get nearly as much respect as
they
should.
No, they work their butt off.
Yeah. And I think that's just a kind of a bigger break for them.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what, if they even use it at the majors. I could see a lot of guys just not even using it.
No, I don't really think all the guys really care for it too much. I think because generally with a caddy and a player, the caddy will show up the day before the player and kind of scope out the course and things like that.
Yeah.
I think the caddy will just maybe start using the rangefinder more often now instead of him like having to count his paces and stuff on the course just to get it just right.
Yeah. I mean, literally all of these yardage books for every event is just so detailed.
Oh my gosh,
I mean, you've got numbers from literally everywhere if you're on that hole.
I don't think it's too big of a difference. Some of the players might be excited. Some of them might not. I don't know. I don't really think it's that big of a deal, to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it was as big of a deal as last week.
No, definitely not. But I have a topic that I want to talk about, and I'm going to keep talking about it probably the rest of this season. It needs to be addressed. It's golf hoodies. Now,
yeah, you're not a fan.
But I'm not a fan either. It's okay. Like when Rory McIlroy first like debuted his like Nike hoodie or whatever it was, I thought it looked pretty cool. It was a good looking hoodie, but it didn't just look like a standard hoodie. It looked like it was built for like or designed for like the athletic wear, like a golfer hoodie. Like
right.
It was specifically built for golf.
Wasn't some cotton
yes.
like sweater.
Now those hoodie. Kind of things, I think that's fine. I really like the traditional classy look of golf. Like I'm a really big fan of how like Adam Scott and Patrick Cantlay dress.
Right.
I think that's a really good look for golf. Golf hoodies, I understand the world's like changing and that's fine. The hoodie part's fine, but it needs to be golf-specific hoodies. Like Ryan Moore this past week, what literally just looked like he found some old cotton Adidas sweatshirt in his closet and just grabbed it.
Some old sweatsuit?
Yeah, like it's like he spilled coffee on his golf shirt the morning before, and he's like, oh, I'll just go wear this hoodie I brought. Like,
oh, okay.
I mean, it just looks so dumb to me, and I don't like that look.
Not a sloppy,
no, because
like,
then
baggy hoodie, something
yeah.
that –
Because
fit,
it's
like
the PGA Tour, and I don't want – because like, when you go out to, like, country clubs, like private country clubs and stuff here or anywhere in the country, there's a dress code.
Yeah.
PGA Tour, there's a dress code. And at public courses, you can wear whatever you want. So I feel like if you just start bringing in all these, like, more normal clothes, like the hoodies, and then, like, Phil Mickelson a couple years ago was wearing those button-up collared shirts, that's fine. It's just weird.
I'm pretty sure Bubba Watson was wearing those, one of those at the Waste Management.
Yeah.
Like that little TikTok video he did.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's wearing one of those.
That was strange.
Or like a couple years ago when joggers The jogger golf pants. I'm so glad those aren't around anymore.
Some of the guys still wear it.
Maybe it's, Ricky Fowler, is he still?
He'll wear anything. But I think you need to keep the dress code at a certain point. I get you're trying to appeal to, like, all the fans, but keep it to a certain point. Keep some kind of traditions, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, I guess that kind of goes to more or less what Rory said about the whole, you know, distance regulation thing about getting more people involved in golf.
I don't think is the way to go.
No, but I feel like that's kind of a reason why they're kind of allowing it, just because it's trendy. And
yeah, I mean, I understand why they're doing it, but I still want some kind of tradition left involved.
Right.
There is some guy, I should have found his name before we did this, but his pants. Okay, so I got a big, this is a really big pet peeve of mine. When guys wear pants that are too short, and they, like, show their ankles, and then they're not wearing socks.
Oh,
that
yeah.
kills me. And there was a guy on
flooding.
Tour. Yeah. Like, there was a guy on tour. I can't remember who he was, but he was wearing pants, and you could see his ankles, and he wasn't wearing socks, or he was wearing, like, the no-show socks. And then his golf shoes just looked like old bowling shoes. Like, they were the ugliest golf shoes I've ever seen in my life. So his whole look was just off.
I feel like I know who you're talking about, too. And yes.
I'm pretty sure he was tied for the lead after day one, I think. He was. He's got the glasses. He got the real poofy hair.
Gosh, I remember.
He's a brand new guy.
I think I remember watching him, like, warm up on the range. And yeah. I was like the same thing. Like, you can't get pants that fit, man. You're on
preparing
tour.
For a flood.
You're on tour.
Yeah, no. I have that same mindset in the workplace and PGA Tour. You will never see me showing my ankles with pants without socks.
No ankles. Never. This is like the 1920s. You cannot show ankles.
It will not happen. You will never see me doing it ever. But other than that.
I think that wraps up the recap. Yeah, how did our guys do before we get too ahead of ourselves?
We had a pretty good week last week, not going to lie. We didn't necessarily put the teams together completely well. That's the hard part.
It's always the one or two guys, man. I think the most I had was two guys missed the cut on two teams, and then one guy missed the cut on the other two. But it's just like you got to get all six in if you're really wanting to make some money.
Yeah, I had all six in on two teams last week out of my four, and the other two I had five guys. But I made good money off one of them, and then I had another team that had all six guys in it but didn't make the money, which is crazy.
Yeah, that very rarely ever happens.
Ever. But we had a good week. Patrick Cantlay we picked. All the guys I'm about to mention we all picked, and we were not completely high on. Actually, you know, if we put him in our teams, we're pretty high on him usually.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm feeling pretty confident if I'm mentioning anybody.
Right. It's Patrick Cantlay. We had him finish third. Jordan Spieth third. Andrew Putnam finished T55. It's not a great finish, but he was only 4% owned, so it's not the worst. Nick Taylor tied 39th. Not great. Michael Thompson tied 34th. Max Homa, 7th.
Dude, he is just on a tear right now.
He's on it. He's been playing. This is like his 8th week in a row now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just...
He's pulling
crazy.
A Sungjae. He's just playing every event.
Yeah. And we made a post on our social media about the Tennessee boys. And then Snedeker and Peter Minotti decided to miss the cut after we posted that. Stallings came in clutch, though. He finished 30th.
Good finish.
He had a good week. Cam Davis, he shocked me because he was sitting in, like, he barely made the cut. And then he had a not great second round. It was kind of one or two under, but then the next day he just lit it up and he got all the way to 14th.
Wow.
Yeah, he fit great. Sam Burns is tied 39th. And then Russell Knox. Okay. Let me tell you before I talk about Russell Knox.
Okay.
Tringale, Todd was big on, tied 7th.
That was a huge pick.
Neesmith is tied 16th. Paul Casey was tied 5th. Jason Day finished tied 7th. I just did not even realize that till near the end.
Jason Day?
Yeah, I didn't realize how good he was playing.
Yeah, it was kind of a back-and-forth tournament. I was looking and holding my breath because, I mean, he was going up and down like a yo-yo.
Yeah, and you were big on Brendan Grace, and he was tied 34th. Not a bad week at all. So Russell Knox. So if you've listened to this podcast at all, everyone knows that I have beef with Russell Knox.
Did you play him last week?
No, because of my thing, what I said. I said right. This week one, and I said it last week too. I literally said I am not going to play Russell Knox because I think he's going to play well. But
you
if
don't
I
want
play,
jinx him.
Yeah, but if I play him, he won't play well. So I didn't play him. So everybody who listens to this can play him, and he tied 7th. He had a great week.
Solid.
You should have listened to me if you wanted Russell Knox last week.
Take my advice, but not my advice.
Exactly. But that's pretty much all of our players that we picked. I said we had a good week. It's now we're coming up on a big week. This one, this field is packed.
Probably the best we've seen of the season so far. Right, at least in 2021.
This is how like the fields for the majors look. I mean, this is a big tournament. It's the Genesis Invitational this week at Riviera Country Club. A lot of history at this course. It's
been on tour for a while.
Yes, and it is a dicey course. It will mess you up if you're not playing well. It's a hard course, but it's a pretty fun tournament to watch.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's literally big numbers around every corner if you're not careful.
And it's another low-score tournament. Like, the past 3 years, it's been 14 under or less that have won this tournament.
Right.
So it's you got to be on your A game here. It's not just some, like, 25 under and you win.
Yeah, it's definitely not a birdie fest.
No. But this course is 7,322 yards long, and it's a par 71. And like we said before, the greens, all these greens here, there's some crazy shapes here.
Yeah.
And they got the bunker in the middle of the green here. That one's kind of exciting. There's a lot of bunkers on this course. And there's, you know, the rough is kind of thick. It's not, like, brutal, but it's pretty thick. But this course favors bombers.
Yeah.
It likes the long guys. It's going to be a real interesting week with that. But we got Poang greens here and in Kikawa. Am I saying that right?
Kikawa.
Who knows? Fairways and rough, all of that. But Poang greens, that's the most important
straight
part.
Back to Poana.
Oh, yeah. But you got anything before we start jumping into our tiers?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, everybody knows here that we do a tier breakdown of all the pricings. We use FanDuel for all of our pricings. And then for tomorrow's episode, we use FanDuel Sportsbook. We really like the FanDuel setup, so that's why we do everything. We like their pricing. But we go tier A through D. And starting off, we'll just jump right into it. Tier A is the most expensive guy at $12,100 to $10,000 is our Tier A group. So, Todd, start us off with Tier A. This is a, in my opinion, anybody can take this tournament home this week.
Yeah, I mean, especially looking at the very top of the board, you could almost play any of these guys with confidence.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a couple that really stick out to me. One, my first guy is Xander Schauffele.
Old Xander.
He's at $11,500. I'm not exactly sure where he is mentally after his waste management kind of meltdown. Wasn't necessarily a meltdown. He just couldn't ever get anything going, really.
It's two runner-ups in a row, though.
He's playing. He's like doing what Rory did like a couple years ago whenever he just could not win. And then he finally broke through at, I think, the Canadian Open or something.
Something like that.
And then went on a pretty good run there to end that year. But he hasn't finished outside of the top 20 all season.
Wow.
Literally all season. He tied 23rd.
You can't go wrong with Xander right now.
No, he tied 23rd last year. He tied 15th in 2019. He's from La Jolla, California, and he went to San Diego State, which is just a little south of Riviera. So chances are he's probably played this course a handful of times.
Do you think
not only counting his, you know, past years playing in this event, but back, you know, to college and junior days, I'm sure he's played it too.
I'm sure. He's used to the weather conditions, the dryness of this area.
He is, yeah. And he's fifth in strokes gained tee to green, fifth in strokes gained putting, second in strokes gained total, and fifth in birdie average. So, I mean,
he's
one of the best players in the world, so obviously the stats are going to speak for themselves. But
yeah, he's playing fantastic right now. He's $11,500.
Yeah, his pricing is a little wonky to me. I feel like he should be higher up.
You think?
I mean, considering that, you know, Rory is the most expensive guy, or second most expensive.
Dustin Johnson's
and he hasn't won in
that's true
forever.
I know Xander's playing great. You literally just can't go wrong with Xander. I have him on my list this week. I might play him. It's he's pretty expensive for me to throw guys up there that are that expensive. It's scary to me.
Yeah, I mean you're definitely looking for a top five.
Yeah,
but I mean you're definitely not going the very top of the board either.
Yeah. One of the guys that I like this week, he's the most expensive guy I have, and I think I have him in one lineup. He's $11,700, and it's Justin Thomas. You can't go wrong with Justin Thomas. He's playing. I know there's been some drama with him this year, but he's still playing.
I don't think it's really getting to him all that much.
No, and he's got a runner-up here in 2019. And then everybody knows that Todd here does a lot more of the analytics of the players and stuff. And I do a lot of course comparisons. And my course comparison this week was the WGC Mexico tournament. I think the yardage there is 7,355. So it's, what, 33 yards longer than this course? It's Poang Greens, and it's almost the exact same weather conditions that you would see at this course. I think this is literally probably the closest you'll get to the Riviera Country Club. And if you use my course comparison, Justin Thomas in 2020 finished sixth at the WGC, and the year before that it was ninth. So I think Justin Thomas
– well, I mean, he finished runner-up here in 2019.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's Xander and Justin Thomas. They're both – you just can't go wrong with those guys. You can't. Who else you got in Tier A?
So my second guy I've got is Tony Finau at 10,900.
I have him as well.
He seems like a guy that really likes Poana Greens.
Yeah.
I mean, he finished second at the Farmers Insurance Open. He's 19th in strokes gained approach, 10th in strokes gained tee to green, 16th in birdie average. I mean, he finished tied 15th here in 2019 and runner-up in 2018. So he's got the course history. He's playing really good.
He's the king of the runner-ups.
He is the king. I don't know when he's going to get it done.
I don't think he'll win this week, but you can expect a top five for sure.
I mean, pretty much like clockwork.
I was saying 10,900, top five, count me in.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got him this week. I think he's going to do great. I actually have quite a few Tier A guys, and it's hard not to have Tier A guys.
Yeah, I mean – looking at the past winners, other than I don't really know where J.B. Holmes was in the world rankings in 2019, but Bubba Watson's always been high up there. DJ,
Adam Scott.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the guys that are in the top players in the world usually have a lot of success here. So,
oh, yeah.
That's kind of the way I'm leaning. I mean, you got to pick some lower guys to get these guys, but I'm definitely thinking a winner's probably going to come out of Tier A.
Yeah. I'm going to throw you two guys real quick.
Okay.
I got – and I hate to say this, I really do. And oh, I got him on two of my teams.
Oh, I know where this is going.
11,400, it's Bryson DeChambeau. I can't stand the guy. I can't. I like DeChambeau more than I like Patrick Reed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I still can't stand DeChambeau. But it's really hard to go against him this week. He finished fifth last year. And like you said, this course really favors the bombers. And he
could really bomb and gouge his golf course.
Right. And if you look at my WGC Mexico comparison last year, he finished second last year. So, I mean, I have Bryce. I think Bryson DeChambeau is probably going to win this tournament.
Oh, is that who you made a bet on earlier?
No.
Oh, okay.
His odds aren't good enough for me to make a bet.
Well,
on
that's true.
But I really think Bryson's going to play well this week. And 11,400, I feel like that's a little cheap for Bryson. So,
yeah, I mean,
I could see him up there. I would think you would switch Bryson and Justin Thomas around, but that's just kind of my opinion. I think Bryson's such a big name right now, you would think he'd be higher up there. But I got him in this week.
I mean, maybe it's just because we hadn't seen him a whole
lot. That's true. He hasn't played too much. But one more guy I have this week is 11,200, and it's Patrick Cantlay. You can't go wrong with Cantlay right now either. Cantlay's playing fantastic golf. He just can't quite get it done is the problem right now.
Yeah.
But if you look at his course history here at the Genesis Invitational, he was tied 17th last year, tied 15th the year before that, and then he was 4th the year before that. So, I mean, he's got great course history here, and he's playing really well this year. He just can't quite get it done.
He's going to be one of those guys that you always want to play when they're in California, I feel like.
And then in 2019 with the WGC Mexico, he finished 6th. So I think he really likes these type of golf courses. I think he's going to play really well this week. I think you could probably expect a top 10 finish out of him. But I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, after last week.
He was 52% ownership last week.
That's absolutely nuts.
That's crazy.
Well, I think a lot of that is because DJ dropped out too. Everybody that was playing on betting DJ was just like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just throw Cantlay in there.
Might as well. Who else you got in Tier A?
The other two guys are basically just mentions. One is Rory McIlroy. I feel like every time he's playing, I kind of have to mention him. But
you're a big Rory guy.
I am a Rory fanboy, I guess. But, I mean, he finished top five the last 2 years here.
Okay.
But the thing is, he's the second most expensive, so can he actually win?
I don't know.
That's why he's just a mention. I mean, if you want to throw him in there, if you've got the cap room,
right?
Maybe go ahead, but I don't know, man.
I don't know if he can win this week.
That's the thing. I just don't know. He's so streaky with, you know, whether or not he's going to put four rounds together.
Yeah. I mean, he has great course history here, but him being that expensive, I don't know. I mean, you could pull the trigger on him easily. He might get you a top five, but that expensive, you might be able to spend your money elsewhere.
Right.
I don't know. Do you got anybody else in Tier A?
Yeah, the other guy's just to mention too, Bubba Watson. I mean, he's a three-time winner here.
Old Bubba.
He's not really playing a whole too bad. I mean, I guess.
No, he's not playing bad.
He's had one bad tournament this season.
I feel like Bubba's at the stage in his career that he plays good at the courses that, like, he's played good before. Like here.
Right.
He's going to play well here, I think.
I mean, just the courses that I think that fit his eye the best, where he can shape shots.
Yeah.
Is where he excels. And apparently it's here. One of them is here.
Yeah, he does love this golf course. Obviously, three-time champion. How can you not love it after that?
Right.
But you got anyone else for Tier A?
No, I'm done.
All right, I got two more guys for Tier A. I got at 10,600, it's Adam Scott. You can't go wrong with Adam Scott here.
Defending champ?
Yeah, defending champ, two-time champion. And I'm pretty sure he's a two or maybe a three-time runner-up here.
Okay, so
he loves this crazy course history. He loves it. And you, like I said, you cannot go wrong with Adam Scott. He'll get you a top 10 this week. He's 10,600. That's pretty good price tag for a top 10 guy. I think I have him in one lineup this week.
He's definitely one of those guys that just picks and choose tournaments anymore.
Oh, yeah. And he's at the point where it's probably places he's won or it's majors.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, he's won here, two-time champ. I think he's going to do great. And one little side note I want to add to the – not necessarily Adam Scott, but it's Australian players in general.
Yeah, they seem to like this golf course pretty well.
Yeah, from what we've seen on the leaderboards throughout the whole entire years of this tournament, Australian golfers tend to like this course a lot more. And I think it's because the conditions to this place compared to maybe the courses they're playing over in Australia.
Yeah, I need to do some research and figure out if there's just Poana greens.
I looked into it. There's a lot of Poana greens there. There's a lot.
Because it just seems like all the Poana courses they kind of show up at.
And like I said, there's a lot of Poana greens around the areas that they play, and it's very dry. It's coastal. It's very windy. It's dry. Right. I think it's extremely similar conditions, extremely similar golf courses to, like I said, Riviera Country Club. So Adam Scott, I think, is an extremely safe pick this week. And there's a few other guys that I would like to pick that are along that line. But my last Tier A guy I want to talk about, you can't not talk about him right now. It's Jordan Spieth. He's 10,500. He's played fantastic these last 2 weeks. He's played great. You can't not pick Jordan Spieth right now. I feel like he's hot, and I think he might get you another top 10 finish.
The only thing that worries me is, like last week, the golf course there's 300 yards shorter.
Yeah,
he can still hit his wayward drives and still have wedges in.
No, I agree. So
that's the only thing that worries me here is just
Spieth's going to have to grind for this one, but I think he's ready for that grind. I think he's playing great.
I mean, his confidence should be sky high, a lot higher than it's been in years.
Yeah, I mean, he played great at the Phoenix Open, and that's no short course.
True.
I think he can get it done this week. I'm expecting a top 10 finish out of Spieth. He's 10,500, but some course history behind him. He finished fourth here in 2015, and that's when Spieth was really Jordan Spieth, And he's, like I said, he's playing great right now. And a little more recent times, in 2018, Jordan Spieth finished ninth here.
Okay.
So he's got good course history here, and he's playing great. I'm 100% expecting another top 10 finish from Jordan Spieth.
If he does three straight weeks, his odds to win the Masters has got to
I took his odds at 20 plus 2,900 in the Masters already.
Okay.
So – but I got Jordan Spieth on, I think, all of my lineups this week.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm confident. He's playing great again.
So is he safer than Adam Scott, you think?
Ooh. I don't know about that. I could see Adam Scott
going back to back.
If you have the – because obviously Adam Scott's 10,600 and Spieth's 10,500. If you want one more player in that area, I would take Adam Scott over Spieth.
Yeah, I probably would too.
I think it's literally going to be Adam Scott might finish two spots better than Spieth or two spots worse than Spieth. One of the two. But Adam Scott's ownership is going to be a lot less than Spieth this week, I feel like.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, Spieth's the name right now. Everybody wants it. Like I said, when we picked his return, because we did pick his return, I want to make that very clear. When we picked him, he was 2.2% ownership that week. And then this past week, he was at 19.8 ownership. He jumped up 17.7 in ownership. And it's near a top five finish. And he has great course history here. Spieth's going to be in the 30% ownership this week.
Oh, yeah.
I think Adam Scott's going to probably be in the 20% ownership this week.
Yeah.
Around there.
Just depends on how people throw in that, you know, last year's finish. I mean, he is the defending champion.
But, you know, Spieth just – I think – because not everybody that does these teams on FanDuel dives into this stuff like we do or the people that listen.
Right.
So a lot of people just see Jordan Spieth playing great. Sure, throw him in. So that's why I feel like Spieth's ownership is going to be a lot more high than Adam Scott, but I think they'll finish very similar. So I'm solely just going off ownership.
Right.
But that's all I got for Tier A. I really do think one of those Tier A guys are going to win, but I got one guy in Tier B that I did place a single bet on to win this thing, and I think he might do it.
Well, go ahead and lead us off then.
Oh, he's my third guy, so I'll get to him.
Okay.
But my first pick in Tier B is 9,900. And again, our Tier B this week is 9,900 to 9,000. You know, we break it down by the thousands after this. The Tier A is always way higher, but after that, Tier B is 9,900 to 9,000. Tier C is 8,900 to 8,000. And Tier D is 7,900 to 7,000. Just so everybody's clear. And we use FanDuel. Again, we use FanDuel for all of our pricing. So in just case you're wondering where we're getting this from. Now, at 9,900, Max Homa.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Max Homa right now. He's playing the best streak of golf he's played in his career, hands down. He's playing great. And last year at Genesis Invitational, he finished fifth. He is playing great.
You know the crazy part about him is, though, his stats –
no bueno.
Are god-awful.
Yeah, they're not good.
I mean, literally, he is outside of the top 100 in all major categories except for strokes gained approach, and he's 73rd.
But he is getting it done.
It was mind-boggling. I'm just like, how are you finishing so good week in and week out, but your stats don't reflect that at all?
If you will follow Max Homa on Twitter, he's, like you say, he's talked a lot about his mental game this year. And if you follow him on Twitter, he is looking at all of his such great finishes right now. I mean, he's looking at it like, I'm not done. Like, this is just like, it's learning experiences. He says there's a lot more to come. So you might see a Max Homa win this week.
You don't think I guess by those tweets, it doesn't really seem like he's getting burned out. That's kind of what I'm worried about.
He's young enough. He's in shape. I think he's fine. He's not going to get burnt out. I think he's got a break. He needs to take a break here soon. But I don't think he's going to get burnt out this week. I think he just feels like he's playing such good golf, he doesn't want to lose it.
Well, that's true.
So I think he plays great this week. You could possibly see Max Homa win. I could see a Max Homa top 10 finish.
I mean, he tied fifth last year.
Yeah, I could see top 10 finish for sure. 9,900, his ownership's going to be up there. But still, 9,900, you can get a lot of other guys if you start dipping in the Tier B section.
Right. I mean, he's 55th in scoring average right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that was like, I think maybe 70.2 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean – hell, if he just shoots that scoring average,
that'll be great.
I mean, yeah, the he's probably going to at least be top 25.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be golden.
I do
think
too.
He's going to play great. Give me a player.
So he was my first. So starting off, my second guy is Carlos Ortiz at 9,700.
Okay, you know, well, a little fun fact. Carlos Ortiz is, I think, who's going to win this whole thing.
Ah,
that's exactly what I was talking about. He's got great course history here.
Yep. Tied 26th last year, tied 9th in 2019.
WGC Mexico course comparison, tied 16th last year.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Ortiz has done nothing but impress me this year because he had an absolute meltdown at Torrey Pines in the final round, and then the next week he came out and just played lights out.
You know how I was saying that I didn't think he could compete on big golf courses?
He can.
Yeah, I mean, he's not actually that short. He averages over 300 yards of drive.
And he can shape the ball very well, at least. He can put it where he wants.
Right. And, I mean, stats-wise, he's 34th in strokes gained off the tee, 22nd in birdie average, 36th in greens and regulation, and he's 6th in three-putt avoidance.
I have a single bet down on Carlos Ortiz this week. I think he's going to play great.
He's playing really good golf right now, and, yeah, I think he's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Oh, I 100% agree with you. 9,700, he's an easy pick for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who else you got? Tier B.
So my final guy in this tier.
You got final guy?
Yeah, just three guys in.
Oh geez.
In Tier B.
I got six.
you want to take one first?
Yeah, I'll grab one.
All right.
I'll throw you a couple guys. Just a mention for me this week is one of my boys, People who listen to this podcast know that I have a group of five boys. I call them my boys. It's players I'm just really big fan of. They're great golfers and everything. But Mark Leishman is one of my boys. And he, in fact, he's my number one boy. Mark Leishman is my favorite golfer on tour. He's just a mention for me this week, though. Now, like I said, Australian golfers play great here. Mark Leishman could play great here. He's got good
course history.
He has great course history. In 2019, he finished fourth. And he's not playing bad golf right now. He's not playing fantastic, but he's not playing bad either. I could see Mark Leishman getting you a top 15 finish. I could see.
His ownership should be kind of low, too.
I think so.
He's kind of one of those guys where if you don't see him on the front page of a leaderboard for a couple weeks, you kind of forget about him.
Yeah. I think Mark Leishman's ownership this week is going to be under 10%. If he gets you a top 10 finish under 10%, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll throw you one more guy. I guess, well, you took Carlos Ortiz, so I got three guys left. And pretty also big on Cam Smith this week. Cam Smith is in all of my lineups this week.
Yeah, I was contemplating on putting him down, but I figured you'd probably, just because he was Australian, I figured you had to have him in there somewhere.
I'm a big fan of the Australians, man. But Cam Smith is 9,400, and he's got some good course history here. Now, there's some ifs and buts in there, though. Last year, he missed a cut here. The year before that, he was 49th. But the year before that, in 2018, he finished tied 6th.
Okay.
So, not necessarily great course history, but when he plays well here, he plays well.
Right.
6th, that's awesome.
And he's playing good right now.
Yeah, and if you look at my WGC Mexico course comparison, last year he finished 22nd in that, and the year before that he finished 6th. So, I think Cam Smith is a really safe pick this week. I have a single bet on him to win. I don't know if he will win. That might be one of those I cash out early. But
yeah.
You will see Cam Smith competing for the win on the last day of this tournament.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's going to play great. I got a really good feeling about an Australian winning this week. It might be Adam Scott again.
Yeah.
Could be Leishman. Could be Cam Smith. Or it could be one of your other boys. One of my other boys. But I'll get to him. You can go ahead.
Okay. My last guy is Will Zalatoris.
Zalatoris, you can't go wrong with him right now.
He's at $9,700. He's definitely a guy that can bomb and gouge his course.
Yeah.
He's another Cali kid from San Francisco, so I'm assuming he's probably played this golf course before. He's making his tournament debut, but
– he kind of scared me a little bit. The whole reason I didn't pick him is just because, like, he's playing great on these courses. You get to, like, bombing around and stuff, so Riviera Country Club could be a fantastic course for him. But last week at Pebble Beach, one of the the shortest course on tour, played – bad.
Yeah, I mean he made the cut, but
yeah, he's tied 55th.
Right.
That's the thing. But again, that's a totally different golf course than what we're coming in this week.
Well, when he played at Torrey Pines, he finished, I think, tied 7th.
Yeah.
Golf course.
Will Zalatoris, he can definitely play well this week. I just personally didn't pick him, but I like that pick. I think he could play great.
Yeah, I mean he's 6th in tee to green.
How do you think the question about him is? You know, he's a rookie. This is all new to him. And he's played in some big tournaments, but this is a tournament
where. This is definitely going to be the biggest name field probably he's played in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think Torrey Pines was this good.
No, definitely not. How do you think his mental game's going to go when he's getting paired with maybe like Koepka or like Cantlay or, you know, Adam Scott, something like.
That remains to be seen.
That's one thing I also kind of like. Some rookies, when they see it, they're like, man, I'm playing with these guys. Like, I'm at their level, like, so I'm going to play at this level.
Right.
And other guys are like, oh, my God, like, I'm playing with Dustin Johnson. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, his stats are solid, though. He's 6th in strokes gained tee to green, 9th in strokes gained approach, 28th in strokes gained off the tee, and 13th in strokes gained total.
Oh, he's playing fantastic golf.
So, I mean, yeah, I think he's a pretty safe
play. He's very safe this week, yeah. How much is he?
He's $9,700.
Yeah, he's a very safe pick this week. 100% agree. So that's all you got for Tier B.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to mention two more guys. Another one of my boys. Like I said, everybody who listens to this knows I got a group of five boys, but the fifth spot's vacant, just so everybody knows. I'm trying to fill the fifth spot, but I'm still accepting applications.
Ah, gotcha.
So, but Mark Leishman is my favorite player on tour, so he's at my number one spot. But I got my other guys here, my other three boys. And one of my boys is Cameron Davis, an Australian. like I said, big on the Australian guys. I think he's going to play great this week.
He's on a tear right now.
Cam Davis, again, Cam Davis and Carlos Ortiz are kind of in the same section that I put Carlos Ortiz in earlier. Cam Davis has literally done nothing but impress me this season. He's playing fantastic golf. He's 9,300 this week, so he's cheap.
Yeah.
Again, the Australian golfers play well here. He does. He has played this course before. In 2020, he played. Now, he did miss the cut, so obviously not fantastic. Oh, sorry, I said 2020. I meant 2019 he missed a cut. But
I don't think he's the same player.
No, that's what I'm saying. He has grown so much since then, and he's playing so good right now. I could definitely see Cam Davis pulling a top 15 finish out. He finished tied 14th last week on that short of a course. But I think he's just playing great golf, and I could see him getting it done again. Top 15 finish from Cam Davis.
I like that, actually.
Now, last guy I'll rant on in Tier B, because, you know, Tier C and Tier D get real slim here. That's why we focus a lot on these tiers.
Especially this week.
Oh, yeah. But Tier B, my last guy, 9,100, is James Hahn. And you can't go wrong with James Hahn right now.
Yeah, great course history, been playing really well.
Yep.
Did he play last week, or did he take it off after the waste management?
Not sure, to be honest. Not totally sure. But James Hahn has good course history here. In 2020, he finished tied 13th, and he's playing good golf. He played great at the Phoenix Open. He just had a total mental breakdown, saw the leaderboard, let it run away from him. But
he did miss the cut last week. Oh, okay. So he played.
But, I still think he's playing great golf there. Like I said, James Hahn, if you look at his history as a PGA Tour player, he plays really good at the courses he's played well at, and then the courses that, like, he misses the cut at, he's probably going to miss the cut there again next year.
Okay.
So, but James Hahn is the 2015 Riviera Country Club champion. He's won here before. Now, I get 2015, that was 6 years ago. I get that's a lot different player back then, but when you win a golf course, you don't just forget how to play the golf course.
No, you've always got a special feeling walking around that place.
For sure. I think James Hahn's a very easy pick this week. 9,100. His ownership's going to be below 10%, I think. I think he's going to be another great pick, for sure. I could 100% see a Tier B guy winning this week. Now, one more guy I wanted. He's not written down on my list, but I just have to mention him because he's a young golfer and he's playing good. It's Sam Burns.
Yeah, he's got some decent course history, too.
Yeah, last year he finished tied 23rd here. Sam Burns is playing. I think Sam Burns is a really good golfer. I could see him breaking the top 30 this week. I just feel bad not mentioning him because I really like his play. I think he's a great golfer. I think he'll break the top 30. He's 9,100, but he's just a mention for me this week because last week he really struggled. You know, such a short course, you know. But I think he can do well, but maybe top 30. I just want to throw him in there real quick.
Okay.
But that's all I got for Tier B. So, Tier C. How many guys you got in Tier C?
I've got three.
Okay. So, I'll start us off again because I got a couple.
Overloaded.
Yeah. I make so many teams with this, but the people I make the teams with are the ones that I'm, like, genuinely very confident about. But at 8,800, and it's pretty shocking to say it, I got Kuchar. And Kuchar,
risky.
Near the end of last season, played some of the worst golf I've ever seen. I mean, it was just bad. But in 2020 here, last year in the beginning of the season, he finished second. And the year before that, he's tied 28th. And in my WGC Mexico course comparison last year, he was tied 22nd. I think Kuchar can play well here. This year, when you get into the Tier C guys, it's not – these are guys that you just need to fill in a gap, really. Like, you want to go heavy on the Tier A, then take a Tier C. It's essentially what it is. Kuchar is going to break the top 30 for you. That's all I see from Kuchar. But if you kind of feel bad not to mention it, it's because he's finished. He's runner-up here before.
Right.
But Kuchar's not the same player. He's getting old.
Yeah.
But go throw me a guy. Who you got?
Okay. Starting off this tier, I've got Wyndham Clark.
Oh, Wyndham Clark.
Going back to him, he's $8,600.
Okay.
He's the fourth longest guy on tour.
What?
He hits it a mile. I think he can definitely bob and gouge this place.
That's shocking.
He had a debut last season at this course, and he finished tied 15th.
That was his debut.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean.
Wow, gosh, brutal course to have a debut on.
Yeah, it is.
Jeez, props to him.
But, I mean, he's 25th in strokes gained around the green, 24th in scrambling. He's made four straight cuts. So, you know, Tier C guys, you're not necessarily thinking they're going to win, but if they can make you a, make a cut and, you know, finish inside the top 30, I'm pretty happy with
that. He might get you out of top 20.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing really well right now.
Yeah, that's great. Dang. Fourth in driving distance. Wow.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it, but.
No, you would not. Now, I got, I'll throw you two guys real quick. One just to mention, it's the Gooch man. Taylor Gooch. You can't go wrong with the Gooch man here. He, in 2020, finished tied 10th. This season, he's playing all right, but it's not, he's played here multiple times. Just last year was his best finish. I think the Gooch man is going to play well this week. I could see him breaking the top 40. Maybe top 30. He's not in my lineups, but you know, he's just a mention. You can't really necessarily go wrong with him. But another guy that I have is Tom Hoge. Now, I feel like this kind of...
He kind of just faded on Sunday.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people may really question that pick I have. Tom Hoge is 8,000 this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think his ownership is going to be very low. But last week, Tom Hoge played great last week.
He's in the final round.
Yeah.
Or final group.
When you watch his rounds, I mean, he's not playing bad at all. Now, he has two missed cuts. But Pebble Beach, very short course. This is a bomber course. But I think Tom Hoge is starting to really turn around. You know, he's 31 years old. He's not young for the tour, but he's not old by any means.
Yeah.
And I think he'll play well. Now, he's played well here before. In 2017, he finished 53rd. And then in 2016, he finished around the 40s. But I think he'll play well here again. Now, he's just a mentor for me again, but I'll hand it over to you. I got two guys left, but let's hear yours.
Okay. So my second guy in this tier is Luke List.
Yeah, so you told me this one earlier, and I looked into him a little bit, and that's a good pick.
I mean, his last three finishes are T30, T10, and T21st.
That's a good pick. So, I mean,
Tier C guy, that's pretty solid in my opinion. I mean, he finished tied 30th last year and tied 15th in 2019. He's fourth in strokes gained off the tee and 25th in strokes gained tee to green.
He's playing good right now.
So, I mean, he's getting the ball in the hole and he's making cuts. He's not just making cuts. He's churning out good finishes.
He's playing some of the best golf he's played in a long time.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you. He's 8,500 this week, right?
He's 8,200.
8,200.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Luke List could be a real sneaky pick this week, I think. That's a good pick on your part, I believe. Now, I got two more guys here.
Or wait, I did misspeak. He is 8,500.
Okay, 8,500.
Sorry.
But still, 8,500. I mean, that's low.
Yeah, you could still start a lineup with him.
You're looking at under 5% ownership for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Now, I got two more guys here. I had three, but I crossed one of. I crossed the third guy out just because of what you told me earlier about him, about old Henrik Norlander.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Kendrick Norlander is playing great golf, but Todd convinced me not to talk about him.
Yeah, in the last – once he made the cut at AT&T, he lost over 7 strokes chipping. Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah. I mean –
I think he'll make the cut this week, but I don't see him finishing the way he's been finishing.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, that's why I'm not confident this week. But I got two guys. One is Michael Thompson at $8,000. I talked about him last week. And now Michael Thompson he was kind of iffy last week. You know, I think personally he's a great wedge player, which kind of shocked me because last week his wedges looked bad. So it could have been Pebble Beach. I don't know. But in 2019, Michael Thompson finished 7th here. So I think that's good course history enough for me. Him being at 8,000, and you throw him in there, you can go real heavy on the Tier A guys. You can really have a good team in there. And if Michael Thompson gets you a top 20, that's huge. Because I say he finished 7th here in 2019. So
true.
Could be big. But I got one guy here that he's actually in two of my lineups. And it's a Tier C guy. I usually don't throw many Tier C guys in.
Honestly, I think my best team is probably going to come from me going with like three Tier C guys and three Tier A guys.
Wow. That's a bold move there.
Yeah.
But here, I'm pretty confident this guy. You might have him, but it's JT Poston.
I don't have him.
So this guy is going completely under the radar, in my opinion. Now, he's got good course history here. In 2020, he finished tied 30th. In 2019, he finished tied 28th. So, good course history, top 30s. But, also, in 2017, he finished tied 17th.
Wow, it doesn't feel like he's been on tour that long.
No, yeah, he's 27. I didn't know that. I thought he was younger than that. But the reason I feel like he's going such under the radar is because he has good course history here, like I just said, but his last two starts, he's at now, his first two starts of the season, missed a cut. But his last two starts was at Torrey Pines, and he tied 18th at Torrey Pines. And then the Phoenix Open was his last one, and he finished tied 11th at Phoenix Open. So two top 20 finishes in two starts, and he has good course history here. JT Poston, I think he's going to get you a top 15 finish.
That would be
and
be
he's
huge.
Tier C.
Yeah, that would
That's
be huge.
Big.
He'll probably be under 3% owned. Well, I don't know. He's kind of a popular guy, I feel like, on tour. He may be a little more owned than that.
He could, but I think top 15 finish is the best you're going to see out of him, and I think the worst you'll see out of him is the top 30, which I still feel like that's great coming from a Tier C guy, 8,800. I feel like that's great. But that's all I got for Tier C. Let's hear your last guys here.
Okay. So, yeah, this last guy is another guy that I feel like, just like Poston, goes under the radar a lot. It's Doug Gim. We mentioned him a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
I can't remember if it was in our practice ones or the
we
live.
We talked about his random driving distance that nobody knew about.
Yeah. So, his last three finishes are T21st, T37th, and T5th.
Where's he fifth at?
The American Express.
Wow. Okay.
I think that was when we first started hearing about him.
That's not an easy golf course.
No, but I can't find any course history at Riviera for him. But he's 31st in strokes gained approach, 33rd in strokes gained tee to green, and 29th in strokes gained total.
Pretty good.
He's the 8,200 guy that I tried to throw on Luke List's price.
Okay.
So
you might throw Doug Gim and Luke List in on the same team this week.
I could honestly see me making a team with Doug Gim, Luke List, Wyndham Clark, and then just go heavy on Tier A.
Dang. Yeah, you can go real heavy on Tier A.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome to see. I think that's a good pick. Doug Gim, he can be a little sneaky.
He just flies under the radar.
I'm a big fan of your Luke List pick, though. I think Luke List can be very sneaky.
Literally all of his good finishes, you know – if anybody uses FanDuel, which if you're listening to this show, I hope you do.
Yeah.
they always do like the roundups or whatever at the end of the tournaments. And you know, especially the guys finishing pretty high on the leaderboard, they usually write a little piece about them on the FanDuel player profile or whatever.
Exactly, yep.
He has nothing.
No.
Like literally nothing.
He's very under the radar.
So, I mean, yeah, he's so under the radar that the tour's not even talking about him.
He could be real sneaky.
They may not even know he's out there. Yeah. Who knows?
Who's Doug Gim?
He's just sneaking up and taking somebody else's scorecard and writing his name on it.
Doug Gim gets you. He could probably get you a top 20 finish this week.
Yeah, I could see it.
It's like you said, this is a packed field this week, so you're going to see a lot of big names up there. But obviously, the Tier C guys are those old sneaky guys that we want to see in like the top 20 up there.
Yeah,
and Doug Gim could be one of them. I think Luke List is definitely going to be one of them.
I mean, I can see it. The one thing I have noticed just doing my research on Gim, he doesn't hit it quite as far as we thought. His average drive is not super long.
I think the one we saw hit a cart path or something.
It had to have. But like I said, I don't think he's a awful play.
No, by no means he's not. You got anyone else in Tier C?
No, I'm done.
All right, so now we're going to go to Tier D, the bottom of the barrel, 7,900 to 7,000. This is scraping. You put a Tier D guy in, you can honestly go four Tier A guys and a Tier B guy.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are bottom of the barrel. You're trying to find someone that's going to make the cut. And then at best, if he gets you a top 40, top 30 finish, wow, good for you. That's great. But how many Tier D guys do you have?
I've got two.
I got two as well. Why don't you start us off?
Okay.
Give me one.
So starting off this tier is Scott Piercy.
Wow.
Nobody's really seen
Nobody's seen him since his whole debacle.
Yeah, he had the whole racist post or something. Yep. I can't exactly remember. But he's kind of flying under the radar too. He hasn't really started 2021 off super great. But at the start of the actual season, I mean, he's got a lot of top 20 finishes before everything kind of shut down for COVID, the month of December and stuff. But he tied 17th here last year. He's 53rd in strokes gained approach, 48th in strokes gained tee to green, 56th in scoring average, and 39th in scrambling.
Not bad.
I think for a tier D guy, if you really wanted to scrape this low, I don't think he's that bad of a pick.
Where could you see him finishing this week at his best?
His best, I think he could probably get you top 15.
Whoa. Wow.
But his worst, obviously, he's probably missing the cut. It's Maybe. A tier D guy. You get what you get.
Wow.
Pretty much down here.
That'd be pretty big.
That would be huge.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be low-owned.
Oh, yeah, for sure. One of my tier D guys this week is 7,600. It's old Jim Furyk.
I almost wrote him down.
I wrote him down.
His last three finishes are the only ones on FanDuel. They're pretty good.
Yeah, that's why I put him in there, because I just know Jim Furyk's playing well. I mean, he's such a seasoned golfer.
And why show up here if you don't think you can compete?
Exactly. And, you know, he's been on tour forever. He's played here dozens of times.
His course history is not bad either.
No. I think Jim Furyk is a safe tier D pick. He'll make you the cut, and he might get you a top 30 finish. Jim Furyk,
that'd be huge.
He could get it done. 7,600. I got one more guy, but I'll let you get the next one.
Okay, yeah. My last guy in this tier, he's also $7,900, same as Scott Piercy. It's Vaughn Taylor.
Wow.
Now, he's kind of in the same tier as Jim Furyk. I mean, he doesn't hit it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But his finishes here are just crazy. He finished tied 13th last year and tied 9th in 2019.
Here?
Yes.
What the heck?
It's crazy. Like, you would not think he would compete at this golf course. But guys,
when I see things like that, like a tier D guy coming out of nowhere like that, sometimes if you really dive into it, they actually are a member at that course sometimes.
Ah, okay.
That's why Jim Furyk always plays good at the Players. He's a member there. He lives there.
Okay, gotcha.
So, like, that could be one of those scenarios.
I mean, and he's playing, you know, I don't know how much comparison you can draw to last week, but as far as just where his game is, he finished tied 21st last week.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, he's back on Poana greens. He's 47th in strokes gained around the green and 18th in driving accuracy. So, he doesn't hit it anywhere, but at least he's getting the ball in the short grass.
You don't got to bomb it. If you know where you're going to put the ball, you can win a tournament.
Yeah. Wow. I like Vaughn Taylor.
That could be
a little more than Scott Piercy, but
that could be a sneaky little pick.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you just go with course history, he's as safe as they come in this tier.
My final guy that I have for tier D is 7,700. I couldn't find any course history on him here, but he's playing good golf, especially for a tier D guy. And it's Richie Rawinski.
I looked at him also.
At the American Express, which is not an easy golf course, he finished tied 21st. But the funny thing is, though, is that going into Sunday, he was 14 under going into Sunday, and he shot 3 over on Sunday.
Okay.
So I think he just got a little scared, which is funny because you look at his rounds, and then he went and played at Torrey Pines. He finished 60th at Torrey Pines, but he was 6 under at one point. But what the bad part was, though, is he was 6 under – and he finished plus 2 for the tournament.
Ouch.
He shot 1 over on Saturday and 7 over on Sunday.
Eww.
That's a big
oof. That's rough.
Yeah. But his best finish and the most impressive one that I found this season so far is actually at the Phoenix Open, which Phoenix Open is not an easy golf course by any means. And he was 4 under going into the weekend, shot even on Saturday, but on Sunday he shot 7 under on Sunday. So I think that's his last round of golf he's played, and he's going to come out here. I think Richie Rawinski could get you a top 30 finish, probably. 7,700. Richie Rawinski is going to be below 1% owned.
You think so?
Andrew Putnam was below 0.3% owned when I picked him 2 weeks ago, and he killed it.
Right.
So I would 100% think Richie Rawinski will be under 1% owned.
That'd be a safe pick,
yeah.
I think.
I think that's kind of what we look for in the tier D section, and we both definitely found it this week, is the safer guys in the tier D. The ones that could hopefully get you a top 20, top 30, but they're got a pretty good odd of making the cut, which is what you want. But you got anything else on our players?
Nope.
Well, I think that'll do it for us here, except for before we jump off, I want to look at our teams real quick.
Yep.
Now, let's see here. My teams are a little wicked. right now. Last week I told everybody five teams last week. I thought that was a little much, so I dialed it down this week to three. Now, you want me to go ahead and throw out a team?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so this team, I'm actually really confident in this team this week. I have Jordan Spieth, Bryson DeChambeau, James Hahn, Carlos Ortiz, Cam Smith, and Max Homa. I feel like that's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
I'm confident in that one.
Yeah, that's a solid team.
That's a first place in the big game. That's $30,000 in my pocket.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
We could use that.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you could use that.
Yeah. How many teams do you got right now?
I've only made one so far.
Okay, go ahead and throw me your one that you're confident about.
Okay, so starting off, we got Xander Schauffele, Max Homa, Tony Finau, Will Zalatoris, Wyndham Clark, and Luke List.
Now, see, that could – I just feel like that's a solid team.
Literally everybody on this team is just – they hit it a mile.
I feel like that team you just said is actually also a powerhouse team, but it's a sneaky powerhouse team.
Yeah, it definitely gets a little more risky, I think, with Wyndham Clark and Luke List more so than
but I could
guys.
See them playing well here.
Yeah,
really
I could
do.
Too.
Yeah. So that's it. That's your team for the week right now, huh?
Yep, that's the favorite one I've got.
Okay. Well, I got two more teams in right now. I got a one team. I have Tony Finau, James Hahn, Cam Smith, JT Poston, Adam Scott, and Patrick Cantlay. I feel like that's also a pretty safe team in my opinion.
Yeah.
But and then the last team of the week, which not necessarily worried about it. I feel like it's more of the go high and then kind of low team. But it's Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, Tony Finau, JT Poston, Carlos Ortiz, and Cam Smith. So I kind of said just go lower thing. That's not true. It's
have you got any tier C or tier D guys?
I don't have any tier D. Yeah, tier C though, JT Poston. I got.
Oh, yeah.
He's in two lineups. I think I'm really confident in those three guys. I might throw in one more team this week because I just honestly think DeChambeau might win this whole thing, which would kill me, but, you know. But
it's just going to happen, I guess.
I'm really confident in the guys we talked about this week. I think we're gearing up to have probably the best finish-wise that we've had on our podcast so far.
That'd be nice.
So hopefully you guys listen in this week. I really think we're going to do well this week. Now, you got anything else before we wrap it up?
Nope.
All right. Well, again, thank you all for listening today. This is, again, our picks and analysis episode. Now, don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the FanDuel Sportsbook matchups episode. You know, if you don't really like doing the team aspect of everything that we talk about today, then you can go make some single bets tomorrow. We do the matchups, we talk about the weather, and we talk about added and withdrawn players as well. It's a much shorter episode. It's very to the point. It's a lot more fun. It's very laid back. It's a very to the point. It's a lot of fun. But, again, if you don't like teams, tune in to that one. Or if you like doing both, if I'm putting a lot of skin in the game, tune
just
in to both the episodes.
There you go.
We would really appreciate it. Again, follow us on social media on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It is at Morning Mully, MULLI for Mully. Or if you want to go check out our website or listen to the podcast there, our website is www.themorningmulligans.com. We're official. .com. No big deal, you know. But I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode, and we will see you guys tomorrow for the matchups episode. Thank you, everybody.